Let's start with love. It's a shared universal experience. Around the world, people feel love. We talk about it, we sing about it, we write about it and watch movies about it. But the thing is, we don't really understand love, what makes it happen or why we feel it. Anthropologist Helen Fisher is one of the scientists looking to unlock the secrets of love. She's been using MRI brain scans to show that a primitive part of the brain is activated when people are newly in love.
It's part of what we call the reptilian core of the brain, associated with wanting, with motivation, with focus, and with craving. In fact, the same brain region where we found activity becomes active also when you feel the rush of cocaine.
This study prompted headlines like, "Falling in love is like smoking crack cocaine." Do I have your attention? Here's Carolyn Beeler with more.
Helen Fisher has become the public face of the science of love. She writes books on the topic and is the chief scientific officer for the dating website Match.com. But it's her research partner who's responsible for the brain science behind these discoveries.
I'm Lucy Brown, clinical professor in neurology at Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx.
Brown wears trendy tortoiseshell glasses, and her thick silver hair is pulled back into a bun. She speaks about her work with a kind of gentle enthusiasm. She had spent much of her career studying the brain's reward systems, and in 1996, Helen Fisher asked her to use the relatively new technology of functional MRI imaging to peer inside the brains of those newly in love.
To reveal, to find the brain systems of romantic love, even just to find out if there was such a thing.
In their first experiment, Brown's team put 17 college students into scanners and showed that this primitive part of the brain, the ventral tegmental area, lit up in scans while the subjects looked at pictures of their partners. That lighting up represented increased blood flow and activity in that primitive region. The results changed the way Brown thinks about love.
It's a drive. It's like hunger or thirst. It's really part of our survival system, which was, in a way, kind of a surprise because we tend to think, oh, they're just in love. You know, they'll get over it. Oh, no, no. This is very important to all of us.
For most people, the fluttery feelings of early love morph into strong attachment a few years into a relationship. Brown says anecdotal observations show that as that happens, this primitive part of the brain stops being activated. That is, for the majority of people.
But there are a few people who say, oh, no, it's just like the first 6 months. Now, psychologists had known this for a while, from questionnaire studies they'd done, and they wondered, were these people really in love in the same way, or did they have some need to say they were, or were they lying on the questionnaires? You know, what's going on?
To find out, Brown's team recruited another 17 people, this time those who had been married for decades but said they were still madly in love. Their claims turned out to be measurably true. Their brain scans showed activation in the primitive VTA, similar to those newly in love.
I remember when I saw that first result, I said, wow, she says she's in love with him still, just as she was in the beginning, and she is. I must say that I myself didn't think it would be possible to be married that long and still have that same kind of obsession feeling.
Now, the whole time Brown was researching this obsessive love, she was falling for someone herself. She was a widow, he a widower, and it was love at first kiss.
Realizing what was going on in my brain kind of enriched the experience. I was thinking, ay, 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 I know how this is going to take over my life.
A few weeks after they got married in 2010, Brown decided to turn the brain scanning tables. She did an fMRI on herself as a gift to her husband. Brown walked into a scanning bay at Einstein College of Medicine and went through the same process as her subjects. She lay down in the cold MRI tube.
So I was rolled into the MRI. In this case, we had goggles.
And watched as her husband Herb's face appeared in those goggles.
Wow, that's close, and oh, he looks so great.
She thought romantic thoughts, as instructed, and then was assigned a distraction task.
And then suddenly I had to do the countback task.
Brown looked at a picture of a friend for 20 seconds as a control and repeated the process over and over. Back at her computer recently, Brown shows me her brain scans. In the center, there's the reptilian brain that's responsible for hunger, thirst, and this primitive need for love.
You see this tiny little red area? It's so small, but so powerful. This is in the ventral tegmental area, in me.
Brown said she fully expected to see that area light up in red in her scan, showing increased activity. And it did. But another result surprised her. In the scan, there's also a big patch of blue in the front part of the brain, showing decreased activity. It's in the brain region responsible for negatively judging other people. Research from her team had shown that this decreased activity early on in a relationship was a good predictor that the relationship would last.
I thought, oh boy, this is great. I'm glad to see this. I had felt that it was going to last, but somehow it's funny. Is a good feeling when you see that physiological effect that you know is a good predictor. Yeah, it does kind of help to solidify the feeling of this is going to last.
Brown repeated the scan 2 years into her marriage, curious about what would change over time.
The ventral tegmental area definitely is gone. That activation is gone.
As Brown expected, this intense early stage love didn't last long for her.
And I'm sad to say that the deactivation, the suspension of negative judgment, isn't quite as as prominent as before, but it's still there.
Other than self-discovery, there are some practical applications that this line of research has prompted. Anna Zilverstand is a researcher at Mount Sinai in New York who's made findings similar to Brown's in the resting brains of those newly in love.
We were interested in finding out how the brain works when we are feeling positive emotion, in order to learn how we can maybe stimulate these positive emotions in people who have difficulty feeling them, like, for example, people who are depressed.
This approach is called neurofeedback, and Zilverstand says it's had some preliminary success.
We are able to show people their brain activation while they're in the scanner, and it has been shown that people can learn how to modulate these brain regions that are active during a positive state, and then hopefully this is going to lead to them also feeling better.
Lucy Brown has a more philosophical motivation. She thinks it's important we understand the power of love so neither it nor heartbreak is brushed away as trivial. She plans on scanning herself about once a year to learn how her love changes over time. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.